Invite you to open your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's on page 1231. Page 1231. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 15 of 2 Corinthians 9. It's the section where the cadet theme verse for this year is taken from. Their theme verse is found in verse 8. But we'll be reading verses 6 through 15 together here this morning. So 2 Corinthians 9, again, it's on page 1231. And so this is the word of the Lord. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, He has distributed freely, He has given to the poor, His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you, because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. And thus ends our reading from God's Word here this morning. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, it was just about a month ago that we were celebrating the season of Christmas together. And what a wonderful time that was for us as we could have that time to focus especially on the greatest gift we've ever been given, the gift of God's grace in Jesus Christ. God gave us Jesus in His love. He came into this world so that He could go to the cross and that He could die for our sins. Glorious gift to think about. And it reflects the nature of God, that our God is a giving God, isn't He? He's compassionate. He's kind. He's gracious and merciful. We have a God who delights to bless us with many things. He blesses us not just with food and clothing and homes and so on, but a God who delights to bless us with His grace, with salvation, with everlasting life. And again, that's the good news of the gospel, of God who gives, freely gives salvation to sinners in His Son, Jesus Christ. So as we come together then here this morning, it's very obvious then that we have so much to be thankful for, don't we? We have so many reasons to give thanks to God. So many reasons to thank Him day in and day out for all that He has given us. But as we see here this morning in our passage as well, we also have good reason to then give generously to other people. We have a giving God who gives generously, and we then, in turn, ought to be a people who ourselves are giving people, who give generously, even as that is how God has treated us in Jesus Christ. And that's what our passage talks about here in 2 Corinthians. Paul's writing to the church, and he wants to encourage them to be a blessing. To be a blessing by generously serving and giving to others. And the way that Paul does this is to basically talk about the farmer. In the ancient world, when the Bible was written, when Paul wrote these words, they didn't have big tractors pulling these big pieces of equipment that could plant your seeds in the ground. No, they didn't have any of that. Instead, the farmer would have a bag that he would sling over his shoulder, a bag containing all his seed, and he'd reach down in that bag and he'd scatter the seed like this as he walked through his field. He'd scatter it. And Paul wants us to think about that farmer. He wants us to think about that farmer and to see what he's doing and to learn from that farmer, to learn from the farmer that giving generously is the way that we should live as God's people. So like the farmer in the field, we're to sow generously. We're to give generously, to be a blessing by giving generously. And as we see it in our passage, we want to first of all focus on this behavior then that should define us. Secondly, the belief that should drive us. And then finally, the benefit that should delight us. So the behavior that should define us, the belief that should drive us, and the benefit or the blessing that should delight us. So be a blessing, writes Paul. But in order to be a blessing, we have to learn from the farmer. And so in verse 6, Paul gives us a little reminder. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And as we hear this and as we go into the rest of the sermon, rest of the passage, we have to be very clear to understand that this is not any kind of prosperity gospel. Paul's not saying, well, give a little seed money to God and God will pour out millions of dollars upon you. Right? That you put maybe your 20 bucks in the offering plate and then suddenly God's going to bless you with 200 or 2,000. No, that's not at all what's going on here. That's not what Paul's saying. Instead, what he's doing is he's drawing our attention to a very common sense understanding of the connection between sowing and reaping. If that ancient farmer sows his seed, but he's so scared of loss, he's so scared of seed being wasted, that he only throws maybe one seed over here and one seed over there, you know, you can all but guarantee that the harvest he eventually has will be very sparse, will be very small, right? If you only throw a seed here and one seed over there, you're not going to have a big harvest. It's going to be very small. If you, in your own personal garden at home, put one seed of corn in the ground and then you wait for the harvest, you shouldn't be surprised that when it comes around to the fall, there's only one corn stalk standing there. Because, it, as we all know, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. Put a few seeds in the ground, you will only have a few crops that eventually grow. But if you scatter a lot of seed, if you sow a lot of seed in the ground, you're going to have a lot of food. You're going to have a very big harvest. And so there's this connection, you see, between sowing and reaping. What you sow is what you reap. And what Paul is doing is he's saying, okay, now take that common sense understanding of agriculture, how farming works, and he applies it to the church. You see, there's a collection being taken for God's people in Jerusalem. Jerusalem was suffering at this time. The people were languishing in poverty. And so one of the things Paul was doing in his ministry was he's collecting money to help the Christians in Jerusalem. And he's writing to the Corinthians now to encourage them to give to this offering. And he's applying this idea of the farmer reaping and sowing, and so that they would understand that by giving generously to care for others, by setting their life on being a blessing to other people, there is opportunity to enjoy great blessing yourself. Now we'll look at that blessing later, but for the moment, Paul wants to have us use that principle, or to take that principle, and let it drive us to a certain kind of behavior. In other words, to take the connection between sowing and reaping and let that encourage us to have a certain kind of behavior, the behavior of cheerfulness. In verse 7, he says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, be a blessing, but as you are a blessing, do it cheerfully. Right? What's the one of the things that you cadets say about yourselves that you're supposed to be? Right at the end, you guys always shout it, cheerful. And God wants you to be cheerful. God wants you to be happy as you devote yourself to being a blessing to other people. He says, don't do it reluctantly. Don't do it under compulsion. Reluctantly means don't do it with sadness in your heart. Don't try to be a blessing to people and all the while think about all that you're losing and all that you're suffering, all that you're giving up. Don't focus on what you're losing, says Paul, so that your giving is reluctant. No, be joyful, be glad, be cheerful. You know, think of the farmer who sows his seed. Should the farmer be crying as he throws his seed into the field? Should he be upset? Should he be angry that he has to do that? No. That would be silly. And why would it be silly? Because the farmer knows as he scatters, he will eventually reap. What he throws down, he will later take up again. So there should be a cheerfulness to our being a blessing to other people. And as well, it shouldn't be under compulsion, which means somebody shouldn't be forcing you to do it. Right? It shouldn't be someone's telling you to do this, saying you really have to do this. Paul says, no, it should be your own choice. You should be looking and seeking to find ways to help, ways to be a blessing, and you on your own take the initiative to be a blessing to this or that person, and to do it in that way cheerfully. You know, I grew up in a church where, or in a community really, a church and a community that was pretty well made up of farmers. And I remember they would always, you know, they'd always watch each other. Oh, who's getting out there? Who's planting first? And they would take it very seriously, of course. But yet, they were always happy to finally get that seed in the ground. They're always happy when they could finally be out there in their tractors and the seeds getting in the dirt. They were so happy to have the opportunity to plant. So happy to finally get rid of that seed and get it in the ground. And again, that's what Paul wants to encourage in us. And what God wants to see in us. For as Paul says, He loves a cheerful giver. Someone who's happy to give away, happy to give up, happy to give to others, to be a blessing to others. And when Paul speaks of God loving a cheerful giver, it's the idea that God delights in cheerful givers. God's happy with people who are happy to give. Right? It makes God smile to see us as cheerful givers. He's pleased when His children want to richly bless others, even as He has richly blessed them. Do you remember what God said to Jesus when He was baptized? He said, "This is My beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." And why did God say of Jesus, "With Him I am well pleased"? Well, because Jesus was willingly, cheerfully, happily living and devoting Himself to being a blessing to others. Not just that He was devoting Himself to doing God's will, that's certainly the fact, but also because Jesus came to bless us. He made Himself poor to make us rich. God delights in His Son, seeing that kind of behavior, and Paul says it's the same for us. As we seek to be a blessing cheerfully, God finds great delight in us, His children. And so He wants us to have a certain kind of behavior, a cheerful behavior, as we are a blessing to others. But the next thing He does is to lift our eyes up. To lift our eyes up to God so that we would also be driven by our faith or our belief in God to be a blessing. You know, congregation, our pocketbooks, our checkbooks say a lot about our faith. You know, that giving to God is an act of faith. Giving away is an act of faith. And a failure to give, a failure to serve, a failure to sacrifice and to give away is a lack of faith. You can't trust God. You can't depend upon God. You can't and give your life over to Him, and so you have to keep it all to yourself because you have to take care of me. Right? You can't trust God to take care of you, and so you keep it all back. But the person who gives, you see, has faith in God. They entrust themselves into the hands of God and they say, "I can let this go and I can give away generously because I trust the Lord." And that's what you see here in this theme verse for you cadets. God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Paul says, give generously. But as he does that, he points our eyes to God, who is able to provide us with all things. In fact, Paul uses a form of the word all here in this one verse 5 times. He says, God is able, God is powerful, God is capable of providing all grace, all kinds of grace. Every grace you think of, God is able to give abundantly. So that we are all sufficient at all times and in all ways for all good work. He wants us to remember God when it comes to being a blessing. Because God is all sufficient. God is all sufficient for us. God has everything we could possibly need for any kind of situation we might ever be faced with. God has every grace possible to give you so that no matter what challenge or what trial or what difficulty or what circumstance you're facing, God has everything to possibly give you to care for you. In other words, Paul is saying you can afford to be generous in every area of your life because God has everything you need for every area of your life. You can be generous in everything, in every way, because God has everything for you in every way, at every time, and so forth. You can give a generous amount of your time to blessing others and not focusing on yourself, because God is able to provide you with all the time you need to care for yourself and your own family. You can afford being generous in giving away your money to other people because God is able to provide you with all the money you could possibly need for yourself and your family. You can afford to give a generous amount of your energy, your food, your clothing, your home, and so forth. Whatever you want to throw in, you can afford to be generous, says Paul, in everything because God is able to provide you with everything you need. Not as if God can just take care of you over here, but God can take care of you in every single circumstance of your life. And so you can afford to be generous in every way, shape, and form. Now we may have a hard time believing that, but that is what the Bible teaches us. Paul quotes in the next verse, in verse 9, Psalm 112. And he isn't talking about God there. He's talking about the Christian, about the righteous man. He's saying this quote from Psalm 112 is true. It's right. And why is it true? Exactly because of God. We can be someone who distributes freely to others. We can be someone who gives to the poor. We can be someone whose righteousness endures forever. And why? Because God is all sufficient. So as we look to Him, as we have faith in Him, we have everything we need for ourselves and our families, and so we're able to be generous toward everybody else. And so he invites us in verse 10 to look at the farmer. Look at the farmer, he says. Look at what God is able to do for the farmer. God is able to bless the seed the farmer sows, and look, he can bring forth an enormous increase in what he eventually reaps. Right? That he might plant this amount of seed in the ground, but the harvest is so much greater, so much bigger than what was originally planted. God is able to bring an enormous increase to what he sows. And the point is that God is able to do the same with what we sow. Right? It's really neat to think about. You know, I always plant beans in my garden. It's amazing. You take one bean and you plant it in the ground, it brings forth one plant, and from that one plant comes over 100 beans. Isn't that amazing? From one plant, from one bean, over 100 beans. And that's what God does. God brings an increase, even to the little that we may be able to give. And Paul's saying the same is true for us in our spiritual life, as we seek to be a blessing to others. We might say, well, I have very little to give. But Paul says, even if your generosity is just a little thing, God is able to multiply that 10, 100, even 1,000 times if He so wants. And the Bible shows us that in many places. Moses doesn't want to go to Egypt. And why? He says, well, I'm not a very good speaker, God. Don't send me. My tongue is dumb. I can't really talk very well. And what does God do? He gives them Aaron. And together, Moses and Aaron, what do? They perform many signs and wonders and lead Israel out of Egypt. Right? One little man who thinks, I'm nobody, I'm nothing, I'm pathetic, and yet God is able to do wondrous things. Gideon, a judge, who himself says as well, I'm a nobody. I'm small and insignificant. I have nothing to give, nothing to offer. And yet God, through Gideon and 300 men, defeats over 100,000 soldiers of Midian. Jesus can look at the poor widow who puts in her mites. She puts in 2 copper coins in the offering. And Jesus says, that woman has put in more than anyone else. Her generosity, she's put in more than anyone else, and God is able to use that tremendously. What did Jesus do himself with 5 loaves and 2 fish? You see, God does that, and God is able to do that. And that's why Paul impresses upon our hearts to look to God in faith. Do you understand what God can do? Do you understand what God can do even with a little bit amount of time that you can give to caring for someone else, maybe visiting them and or writing them cards or bringing them a meal? Do you understand how greatly God can bless others just by something small and insignificant like that? Do you understand how much God can do even with just the little bit that you give? And it's the same thing for you boys, you cadets. You might say to yourself, well, I'm just 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. What can I do? Who am I? I can't do anything. Nonsense. God can take a little boy like you and use you right now in tremendous ways. As you seek to be a blessing to others, as you seek to be a good example to the other young boys, as you try to help other people, to take care of them. You know, maybe you walk around after church is over and you try to help people, or maybe you want to bring them cookies or whatever, help them to their car. You know what? God can do something tremendous through that. God is able to use even the smallest and bring forth a great, great harvest. So Paul says, understand who God is, understand what God can do, and let that drive you. Let your faith, your belief, your trust in God drive you to be generous, to be a generous blessing to others. You know, think about even what God accomplishes through the death of one man, through the death of Jesus Christ. Through the death of Jesus alone, He saves a people from every tribe and nation, land and tongue, no matter how sinful they were, no matter what they have done. Yet through that one death, just one death, God is able to cleanse to the uttermost all who come to Christ in faith. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful and so blessed by God that it is able to cleanse whomever comes to Him in faith. There you see it most perfectly as well, of all, in your salvation. There you see most perfectly what God is able to do with one man, with one death, with one blood shed, all for you, and to work marvelous salvation. We need to see that, and we have to let it drive us to be a great blessing to others. And so God brings forth great blessings to us and encourages them to be cheerful givers, to be those who give in faith. But then the last thing we see here as well is that God brings forth great benefits as well. Great benefits when we seek to be a blessing. And these blessings are for us, for the church, and for the glory of God. And that's where Paul takes us in the end. That we should delight in the blessings God brings. And so devote ourselves to being a blessing. Verse 11, you will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. Now again, Paul speaks of 3 general benefits that come from being a blessing to others. Benefits for us, for the church, and for the world, and for God, I should say. At the beginning of verse 11, he speaks of blessings or benefits for us. And the idea is this. As we give generously, we come to know ourselves more, God's gracious provision of all that we need. So that as we give, we receive from God all that we need, and we have greater sufficiency to continue to give more to other people. You see, it's basically a cycle Paul's talking about here. As you give, you receive sufficiency from God, and as you get sufficiency from God, you are capable of giving more, and in different ways. And as you give, again receiving sufficiency in God, and then you're able to give still more, and so on. That it just keeps going and going and going. That as you give, you receive, and you can give more, and you can receive more, and you can give more again, and you can receive more again. As you give in faith, cheerfully, the Lord is able to provide you all that you need. He is willing and able to enrich you in every way so that you are able to be generous in every way. Right? As we give, we receive from God's grace, sufficiency, and we are built up. We are strengthened. And it's not just money. Our minds often turn to money. But the idea even is, let's say you give of your money to God, but you come to receive all sufficiency. And it's not just money. It's the idea that as you give, your faith may be strengthened. That as you give, your hope in Christ may be strengthened. Or that as you give, you know, your hold on the world is loosened. That as you give, you receive grace to grow you in all ways. In all areas of your life, not necessarily that God is going to bless you materially, but that you will enjoy spiritual blessing. You can think of Hebrews 12 here as well. You know, it's the same for us as it was for Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of God. What did Jesus do? He cheerfully, faithfully gave generously to others, and God was pleased to reward him. There was blessing for Jesus in the giving of himself to others. And there's blessing for us in giving. And so what an encouragement to know that our labor, our blessing of others is never in vain. God sees it. God takes notice of it. And we come to experience his own blessing to us in Christ. And so there are benefits for us, but there are also benefits for the church. Paul mentions that their gifts will supply the needs of the saints. Your gift will care for your brothers and sisters. It will make them able to survive and live. That's a wonderful blessing to the broader church, isn't it? It's a way of caring for your brothers and sisters, of helping them. And Paul also talks about the Jerusalem church longing for them and praying for them. That as the church receives this gift, its own love grows. And its unity grows. Right? That as people receive these gifts, they are appreciative of it. Their love for their brother or sister from whom they've received this gift grows. And now they turn into someone who prays for their blessing, who seeks their blessing. Now you have someone also praying for you. Right? It all reminds me of what Paul will even talk about in 1 Corinthians 12, right? The church is the body of Christ. And one of the points that Paul makes is that the body grows as each member cares for each other. What does he say? The church grows. The church is strong. The church is united. The church has greater and greater love as people give to one another, as they care for each other. That's the way the church grows. That's the way the church becomes more united and filled with love as people give to each other, as they serve one another. They seek to be a blessing to one another. And again, that's for all of us, for all of the members of this church. It doesn't matter if you're young and you're old. All of you are needed. We need you elderly saints. We need you babies. We need you young people. You all have a vital place to play in the church of Jesus Christ. You're members of this church. We need your service. We need you. And as we devote ourselves to that end, we will grow in love and in harmony and unity. Great blessings, great benefits to the church as we seek to serve others. But the final benefit then is, of course, the glory of God. He writes there about how the gift the Corinthians give will produce thanksgiving to God. It will overflow in many thanksgivings to God. In fact, the Jerusalem saints, he says, will glorify God because of their submission to the gospel of Christ. That as gifts are given, as service is rendered, people turn their minds and hearts to God. God, how great you are, how wonderful you are. This is your gift. You motivated them, you blessed them. That blessing's come to us. They glorify God. You know, and even to see there that again, when generosity is shown, when service is given, do you know what that's a picture of? It's a picture of the gospel of Christ. Right? That's what Paul also talks about here, that they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ. And you see, that's really the highest way of seeing the benefits of giving generously, serving others, being a blessing. It's a way of pointing minds and hearts to Christ. Right? When we serve generously, when we are a blessing to other people, it's a picture of our submission to the gospel of Christ. It's a picture of how we have truly ourselves laid hold of Jesus, who gave Himself for us to bring us salvation. And God is most glorified in that. God is most glorified as His Son is revealed and proclaimed and laid hold of in our lives and the lives of others. You see, that's our goal. That's what we should be wanting. That's what we should be striving toward, that Christ is seen in us. Right? There's lots of people who serve for many different ways. There are people who don't believe in God, and they do many marvelous things. They travel around the world. They build homes. They care for people. They feed the hungry. They clothe the naked. They heal the sick. They do many things, don't they? For many different reasons. What's to be our reason? What's to be our reason for giving generously for the glory of God in Jesus Christ? To show Christ to this world. That's what it's all about. To show the wondrous gospel of Jesus Christ, the God of grace, coming and freely, generously giving us salvation. We are called to be a blessing for the sake of Christ. We're to serve willingly, to serve cheerfully, to do it all in faith, trusting that God is able to make all grace abound toward us. And to do it always, always delighting in the fact that we can show forth Christ. We have so much to give because of Jesus Himself. And so are you being a blessing? Right? Cadet theme, be a blessing. Are you being a blessing? Are you giving yourself to the work of the Lord? Are you serving cheerfully and readily? Or is it something that has to be dragged and pulled out of you? Are you genuinely seeking to be a blessing to your brothers and sisters in Christ, to show forth your own confidence in, belief in, hope in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is more blessed than to receive. And so may it be our desire to give ourselves most readily and cheerfully to the service of our Lord and Savior. Amen. Let's pray together. O Lord, our God in heaven, You who have so richly and abundantly blessed us, we give You thanks and praise here this day. Our minds and hearts again are overwhelmed by the enormity of Your love and Your grace, that You sent Your Son and that He gave up all the riches of glory, that He by His poverty might make us rich, that we might be rich with everlasting life, that we might be rich with His righteousness, that we might be rich with the cleansing of His blood, that we might be rich with the reality that we are Your sons and Your daughters. O Lord our God, may we see again what You have done for us, and may it drop us to our knees in faith and in humility. But Lord, may it as well fill us with a great zeal to generously serve others, to serve our church, to serve our families, to serve our brothers and sisters, to serve our nation. Lord, help us to be willing servants of You, our God, as we again think upon Your many mercies and grace to us. So grant us Your strength, we pray. Grant us the leading of Your Holy Spirit, And may it all be for the great and glorious honor of your most holy name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.